Hello everyone, welcome to Amaya Walks, and that's me, Tamanna, your host. We are back again with the part 2 of our conversation with dietitian Sonam Jain.
Amaya Walks, the new perspective.
Welcome Sonam. Continuing with our topic of discussion about health, let me put across our next question. See, a lot of people today, they manage a good diet till 8 p.m. But late night, because maybe they are watching some movie and they end up binging. So what do you have to say about late night binging?
Well, that's absolutely right, because, you know, that's what I hear most of the times, that Sonam, you know, we could manage following everything. We ate clean till, you know, 8 o'clock. But you know what? We were doing late night and we were watching Netflix, or, you know, the child wasn't sleeping, and then we ended up binging, or then we ended up ordering from Swiggy. You know, 80% of the cases where this happens is other people who are, you know, trying very hard to send a signal to the brain that, you know, I'm on a diet or I'm eating clean. You know, where it's a forceful act, they will definitely end up binging at night. But when you enjoy doing what you're doing, when, you know, you're happy and content with the amount of food that you're eating, with the timing, with the discipline, the chances of you doing this late night binge is very, very less. So the biggest way of handling this thing is that stop going on internet and reading things and just following them abruptly. It is very important that, you know, you have a mentor, there's somebody to guide you, you know, especially if you are trying to achieve a target in your health parameters, or if you're trying to reverse, you know, any lifestyle disorder like sugar, blood pressure, anything as a matter of fact. So when you are disciplined with happiness, you know, you will never end up doing something like this late night binge. And even if you are doing late nights because, you know, because of the lockdown, or there are weekends, or you have a little baby at home, there are always ways and choices and portions of what you eat can play a very important role in the long run health management.
Moving ahead with our topic of discussion, I would like to know, is doing intermediate fasting healthy?
Well, you know, fasting in itself is a very confused term right now. You know, a lot of people think fasting means starvation. A lot of people think fasting means eating heavy meals like kattu ka atta and fried puris. For some, fasting, you know, carries a lot of religious importance. Mm-hmm. Now, then there is something called intermittent fasting, you know, where people kind of open only certain amount of hours to eat. So definitely it has benefits, you know, but again, the point is, what are you looking at and what kind of body you have, what kind of lifestyle you have? Just don't randomly start doing intermittent fasting of 16, 8 or, you know, 12 hours of fasting, or you would be surprised to know there are people who just eat for 1 hour and they call that they're doing 23 hours of fasting. You know, you possibly cannot do that.
Okay.
So if you really want to understand the idea of intermittent fasting, you really need to first understand why you want to do it. Is it only for weight loss, or, you know, you're trying to clean your body, or you are dealing with some, you know, again, lifestyle disorders?
Totally. Totally agree.
So fasting has its benefits, but again, it has to be done in the right way. Mm-hmm. It has to be done with the right kind of food groups, and you cannot afford to do any kind of fast where you are ending up losing the nutrition, nutritional level in your body.
So Sonam, moving on next, this is a problem that I am facing myself. Like, is it okay to skip breakfast because, you know, people are sleeping late at night, so they end up waking up late and then it's already lunchtime? So how does it affect health?
You know, as they were all saying, breakfast like a king. And but now, you know, a lot of people are sleeping late and they end up skipping breakfast because, you know, they are waking up late or they're not hungry. So ideally, I would suggest, if you're not hungry, mm-hmm. you first need to understand that, are you overweight? And because you have a slow metabolic rate, is it because you're not hungry, or you're genuinely not hungry because, you know, you did eat your dinner late and you slept late and you woke up fine and, you know, lighter, and it's okay not to have a breakfast. You know, you can probably put a brunch in there. So not necessary, you know, we can go by the idea of that, you know, breakfast is a compulsory meal. What you can do is just to start the system of your body.
Exactly.
You know, let's say you wake up late. Let's say you wake up like a 9:30, 10:30 kind of a thing in the morning, and you don't feel like eating. fasting, just start your day with some lukewarm water, some handful of nuts, and maybe one small fruit, or maybe a slice of a mango or a half banana.
Mm-hmm.
So that the metabolic rate is on. It's not that you end up eating toast and eggs and poha, and you know, you're feeling all the more bloated. Now, in another case, let's say you wake up really early, like a 5 a.m., you know, and you again will start your day with some lukewarm water and with some soaked herbs and nuts. Eventually by 9:30, 10, you know, you will feel hungry. So you have to make choices of picking up the meals as per your lifestyle. But yes, the forceful idea of, you know, that no, breakfast is a very important meal can be altered.
True, true.
Can be changed according to your lifestyle.
So next I want to ask, people have started associating sugar with weight gain. Like they're becoming totally anti-sugar. So should one completely stop sugar intake?
Well. So we all know sugar is a white poison.
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, yes, you should completely stop the intake of sugar. Because see, sugar doesn't have any nutritional value. Of course,
okay.
It gives you this nice happy feeling. It gives you a sugar rush. But then you can always achieve that through natural sources of sugar. That is through fructose, that is from fruits, that is like from mango, from sweet berries. And if you know, actually attain to reach a point where you're not consuming a visible form of white sugar, trust me, you will all, of course, be absolutely normal and fine. You will not feel weakness or low BP because, you know, you can always pick up the alternate form of visible sugar, which is in form of jaggery, which is in form of maple syrup or honey. And otherwise also, you know, we end up consuming a lot of natural sugar in our grains, in our biscuits, in our natural waters. So see, the main thing is mostly people end up consuming sugar either in tea coffees, you know, or in the form of desserts. Not tea coffees. Ka sugar consumption can easily be, you know, replaced through jaggery, through honey, through maple syrup, or even, you know, you can start drinking your tea coffees without the sugar and just reduce it to few danas of sugar.
Right.
Now, in terms of dessert, of course, the desserts cannot be eaten on daily basis. So you will anyways be keeping a check on eating the dessert consumption. And, you know, you can always include dates in your life. You know, they're excellent source of iron and, you know, they are rich in antioxidant. So yes, if somebody is planning to reach a state of point where they intentionally want to stop consuming white sugar, it is absolutely possible and a fantastic idea.
So Sonam, next I'd like to ask, many people say that they cannot work out and hence they do very strict plans. How far is that okay?
See, I would not agree with this because that's not my theory that, you know, you can skip the workouts because, you know, you're doing very strict plans. Mm-hmm. Because again, you're fasting, you're doing some fancy diet and you have no time. So I don't think that's okay. No workout, no exercise is only okay and is only possible when you have a medical condition like slip disc or you have an issue where medically you really can't move your body. But if you don't have any such circumstances and no matter how much busy lifestyle you have, you know, taking out 35 to 40 minutes at least 5 times a week is a must. Now, this workout doesn't have to be a heavy gym training. You don't have to hire trainers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be simple walking, simple yoga, maybe just dancing in the room.
Absolutely.
All you need is a mat, maybe try doing some yoga sessions. So giving that 35 to 40 minutes is an absolutely compulsion. It should be like a, again, like a part of your life, you know. It's like a lot of people have this habit of waking up to a cup of tea. So similarly, it should be a part of your life that, you know, you have to take out that timing. And what is important and necessary is that try to fix a particular time to work out, because what happens is, you know, your body gets used to that time and your body gets prepared. Don't play around that, you know, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, and sometimes you're just skipping the workout. Try to fix a time, whatever suits you, morning, evening, late nights. Don't go by the theory, what is the best time to work out. Just do it, whatever time works for you. So I will never ever suggest to anyone to, you know, compensate your exercises just because you're on a very strict diet regime.
Another thing that I have seen people following is they try to be totally salt free. Is it okay to be salt free for dinners to lose weight?
As we just spoke about sugar, similarly salt, you know, is also in the category of white poison.
Mm-hmm.
The entire function of salt is that, it enhances the taste buds. It enhances the entire combination of spices in your food.
Okay.
But again, it doesn't have any much nutritional value. You know, it's an absolutely no for people with high blood pressure or cholesterol and, you know, many other issues. So that's one part of it. Now, second part is there's a big myth among people who are on diet and who are on weight loss programs that, you know, if you do salt-free, you know, you will lose weight.
All right.
See, the idea is doing salt-free is good. It's not bad because, you know, what happens is when you don't consume salt or you go low on salt for a few days or a few hours, your body extracts a lot of fluids from your system, you know, because, you see a lot of fluids will get out of your system by passing a lot of urine in those hours. And it is also a way of giving rest to your digestive system. So doing salt-free is not a shortcut to weight loss. It's just a way of taking out a lot of water. That is, people who have water retention in their systems or who feel bloated, it is good for them. Because salt, when taken in high quantity or, you know, in higher proportion in terms of processed food or in terms of your regular homemade food, can lead to a lot of water retention because extra salt in the body goes in, you know, it sits there. And that's how the body holds on to a lot of water, which needs to be flushed out on a daily basis. So whenever you're doing a salt-free, keep in mind whatever weight loss is coming the next day is not the weight loss. It's the water which has come out of the system, which is a good thing, but don't get overexcited. Oh, I lost 500 grams, or I've lost the weight. It's not a weight loss.
So coming to the last question of our today's discussion, what is your opinion on taking supplements? People think, you know, just popping a pill here and there, which is loaded with vitamins, they think, you know, whatever nutrients they are missing on, let's just pop on a multivitamin. That will solve all our problems. So do you think that's the right approach?
Well, you know, I think a couple of years before, supplements were really underrated. People used to think, oh, we should not consume supplements. You know, they're not good.
Okay.
They're just artificial tablets. Why do I need A to Z? Why do I need iron?
Mm-hmm.
And now look at the scenario. Everybody is running after vitamin C supplement.
Yeah.
Now you need to be very clear and you need to be a little open-minded when you're planning to include a supplement in your lifestyle is A.
True.
If that particular source cannot be achieved through natural resources, then you will have and you should include an end supplement from above because that will, you know, at least nourish your body and will give you that needed amount of resource.
Okay.
Now, if you are undergoing through a particular disorder or deficiency after your blood repose, then of course you will have to add that additional supplement, which generally are like vitamin D, vitamin B12, calcium, iron. You know, these are the deficiencies which generally cannot be fulfilled only through food groups. And especially if you're a vegetarian, you know, it becomes very difficult to, reach that level of amount of vitamins only through natural resources. So consuming that supplement is fine. So don't be afraid and don't be like that, no, you know, I will only achieve it through natural resources. I would still say that, you know, let's just go buy natural resources. But at times, let's say you are in the growing age or you are in your menopause periods, you know, there are certain times when the body demands more than what can be given only through natural resources. Let's say your vitamin D has come really low, okay, and you have these body aches and you're feeling uneasy, or you have a thyroid condition. So only through sunlight or only through eating papaya or only through natural resources, your vitamin D requirement cannot be fulfilled. So, you know, in such cases, you must consume a supplement. The only tip is that do not overdo anything that, oh, I'm taking this for my skin, I'm taking this for my bones, I'm taking this for my hair. A lot of people do that. Don't do that. And whatever supplement that you're taking, take it like for a span of 3 months, give it a break and then repeat it. And always consult your health coach or your general physician before you put yourself on a supplement.
Okay, Sonam, thank you so much for all the lovely health insights that you have given us today. You have been of great help and definitely our knowledge about health has increased many folds. Thank you for joining. And thank you everyone for listening to Amaya Walks Health Insights. See you soon with our next episode with a new guest. Thank you.
Amaya Vox. The new perspective.